You want to know what was difficult? Was trying to search the internet for an illegal stream of a movie called porn, essentially. Just try searching the internet for three X's and see what the fuck comes up.
That's not good.
The internet was like, yeah, we know what you want. And I was like, I do. Not now. Later. Later.
And you were
after
like,
this.
XXX spy movie. And it was like, Spy Who Loved Me. We got you. Welcome back to Gentlemen Prefer Bonds. I'm Will Daniel.
Let's start over.
Sorry. I'm Will Schlick.
Well...
And I'm also.
I swear to you, I'm so tired. I almost said I'm Max Wilcox. That was my next line.
I'm Brian Fantano.
Welcome
back to Gentlemen Prefer Bonds. I'm Will Daniel.
And I'm Will Schlick.
And I am Max Wilcox.
Tonight we're continuing our series of movies we feel were inspired by Bond, or perhaps inspired Bond, or feel Bond adjacent in some way. We were supposed to talk about True Lies tonight. I had a video quality related panic attack yesterday and said we can't do it because there's seemingly no legal way to watch True Lies in anything, but Peacock has, it looks like a scan of a laser disc or something that's been stretched and looks absolutely terrible. So we're going to do True Lies next time, and Mr. Schlick didn't see all of our texts yesterday that we're talking about XXX tonight, so you haven't seen the movie in maybe 20 years, but we're all here, and two of us have seen the movie in the last 24 hours, so
yeah,
we're going to talk Diesel,
let's just
we're
going to
talk
XXX. No, wait, let's just paint the scene for a moment, because let's also remember that I'm on the East Coast. It's 9:42 on a Monday night, and I get a text message the length of War and Peace from Will saying... Good God, I can't appropriately watch Rob Cohen's masterpiece, XXX.
No, James Cameron's masterpiece, please.
Oh, sorry, yes. And therefore, I require a Switch. And when you actually do watch it... You said you're going to pick up the Spanish language one? Are you just going to watch it in Spanish?
No.
When we actually watch it?
There's no, Spain... has a Blu-ray that is an actual HD transfer that
you're
I think is an all-region disc. That I'm gonna fly to Spain. No, Cinephile Video here in Los Angeles will rent. I've gotten English, Spanish, French Blu-rays from them before. They all, for the most part, play on American players. I'm gonna watch that for next week.
Shocking.
I'm sorry you watched the Peacock version at work today, but I mean, if it sounds better than working. I mean,
yeah, I was doing it while I was working, but you know what? I'm committed to the cause. Yeah. And I'm a great multitasker, but this is a really good lesson for all the kids listening. I know there's tons of kids listening to this podcast. Never make assumptions, because we had been texting earlier in the day about what lists we want to do. And we had a little bit of back and forth. And so when the other text messages started coming in, I thought, well, these are just about the lists, and I'll look, you know, like after I watch the movie. And lo and behold, I looked after I watched the movie at about 5:30 today, and I thought, I'm going to get my lists ready now. And sure enough, we were not watching True Lies anymore. So,
well, you don't often text back just to confirm normally. So that's why I said last night, let us know if this doesn't work for you. So
that's true. Texting is not my favorite means of communication.
We've all known it. It's the old adage, when you assume, you end up watching True Lies on Peacock, and it's
with
it's
a bad aspect
said,
ratio.
It's been said time after time after time.
Look, if while we're talking about XXX tonight, you want to splice in a couple comments about True Lies, you know, just go for it. Relate this movie to True Lies all you want. And yeah. We'll maybe talk about, Max and I will maybe mention XXX a couple times next week.
Let's dive in. Look, every comment I make is going to be about Bill Paxton and his great career. So,
oh yeah, that's fine by me.
I think.
XXX comes out August 9th. 2002.
Oh, shit, that's my birthday.
Oh shit, it is 8/9. It's Max turned 12 the day this came out. I assume you were there.
In spirit, probably. I was not invited to the premiere.
The premiere. Yeah. For a little like spy movie context, I mean, this is toward the end of the Brosnan run. World's Not Enough comes out end of 99. Mission Impossible 2, which is similar vibes, I'll say, is I think May of 2000, and that's a huge hit. Makes more than any of the Brosnan Bonds. Makes more than the first Mission Impossible. Bourne Identity comes out a couple months before this. Die Another Day comes out a couple months after this. XXX had a budget of about $70 million, made about $277 million worldwide. Pretty good.
What you want. Some of those movies wish that some of their action looked as good as some of this action looks.
Yeah, I didn't have particularly fond memories of the action scene. The Columbia drug farm sequence fucking rules.
Yeah, that was sick.
Did you guys see this in theaters?
Yes, I did. Ooh. Saw it in theaters with my uncle, my brother. So I'm an original XXX head.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you mean Big X, Little X, Big X?
Yeah, Big X, Little X, Big X. And that's really my only memory of it then and now. So,
I weirdly didn't. I hadn't seen this movie until maybe 6 or 7 years ago. It popped on Netflix, and I was like, I guess I should. This seems like something I should have seen. So
yeah, there are
enjoyed it more last night.
Right, they made a
three of them now.
There was a semi sequel starring Ice Cube.
Yeah. Right. Yeah,
called State of the Union.
Yeah,
yeah, he plays Darius Stone.
And then there was a true sequel like 8 years ago.
Five years ago.
In the before. Yeah, times.
Yeah, 20 years ago, Diesel was very adamant about I don't do sequels, and as we all know, boy, he's stuck to his guns. He's one Fast and Furious out, and XXX, Pitch Black.
Yeah, well,
baby.
Yeah,
just
Riddick.
Wake one great movie and out.
Yeah.
Let's get a pacifier sequel going.
I did not see this movie in theaters. What I did do is I went over to a friend's house for a sleepover, and we watched the movie. And this was it was a friend that was an odd family when it comes to viewing things. This is also, again, this was 2002, and so we did rent it, a physical copy of it. And they brought
DVD
it
or VHS?
To the home. It was a DVD. It was definitely a DVD because there was. I remember there being a menu. But point being is that we watched it, and then we like played Yu-Gi-Oh or whatever the hell we did at night. We woke up the next morning, and my friend and his little brother said, "Well, great, we're gonna watch XXX again." And I said, "We are." And they said, "Yeah, well, we rented it, so we're gonna watch it again." So I watched it twice, and then I shit you know, this is not a lie, we watch it, and then 10 minutes later he says, "Well, we're gonna put it on again." And I left the home. Granted, I also left because I was supposed to leave at that point, and I was going home to my home, but also that family watched Vin Diesel's XXX. They entered the Xander Zone three bespoke times in a 24-hour period, which means that, including this time, I've probably now seen this movie more times than 85% of the populace.
Yeah, that's possible. Sort of go in order a little bit, because there's a lot to talk about here for me. The first scene where our James Bond stand in to show that this is no job for James Bond. Goes in a tuxedo, gets killed by... is he shot by a bullet or is it a dart or something?
It's a bullet. He gets shot by... The character who is a sniper character pulls out a pistol with a massive sniper scope on it for no fucking reason, and then assumes a sniper position on the floor of a balcony, a place where you definitely could have just had a rifle. And shoots this.
Yeah,
this
he's about
Amerimond.
30 feet away from the dude. Yeah.
But also, this Bond guy is in a tuxedo. He enters into a warehouse party where like German, Czech grunge metal is being played, and he doesn't change. He pushes through people. Yeah. He's just in a tux. Like, I get that the movie is about like, oh well, we had to hire someone from the outside because no one on the inside could quote unquote get in. I don't feel like you were sending your best guy.
Yeah, but watch the movies this movie is riffing on the most, and like even fucking Roger Moore would have put on like a leather jacket.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's exactly what I'm saying. It would have been like a great moment where like he gets caught by a henchman and he's like, "How'd you recognize me?" And the henchman is like, "Most rockers don't wear pleated pants." Yeah. Like it would have been like some ridiculous like throwaway Bond line.
Well, Sam Jackson says, they can smell the train. This organization is ex-military. They can smell the training on our guys from a mile away. And I was like, they also probably smell the tuxedo.
Training.
They also maybe see the one guy in a tuxedo. Like we did Thunderball. I think we were saying like, don't wear a suit to the beach. Like people will know you're up to something. Don't wear a tuxedo to a metal concert. You're going to get shot and your body will be crowd surfed.
Also, by just friendly piece of advice to any and all sort of Marvel heads. This is a secret Nick Fury origin, because he is he is just a don't play by the rules secret government leader with a facial deformity, and he plays it the fucking same, which means that it's fun and you'll enjoy it. So you should just go watch this movie if nothing else for that reason.
Also, if you're gonna steal a guy's car at a valet and make a video, I don't care what dark web underground website you're putting this on, maybe wear a mask. He's just doing this for secret YouTube.
It's the Xander Zone. You have to
respect
that he enters the Xander Zone.
I also see now, having being watching the movie on silent right now, this really had the Blair Witch effect going on, where they really wanted to fold in some like
found footage, but
stock camera footage from like a little Sony you'd have as a 10-year-old, and so, they really go hard on that here and early in this movie.
Well, for this stunt, that's actually, I watched about the first 20 minutes today with director's commentary, and Rob Cohen was saying like for this and a couple others, he's like, you know, they're actually doing that for real, where a guy's driving the car off that bridge and doing a base jump, and so it's like, he doesn't want to do that more than once. So they're shooting it with film cameras. They're shooting it from, you know, whatever tiny crappy digital cameras they've got on the thing. But that's like, that's one stunt filmed six different ways.
Yeah. They really did that just one time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It looks great.
Again, it looks good. A lot of the stuff in this movie is ridiculous because it is going to be an extreme sports star in Prague. Like a lot of it is dumb, a lot of it is like ignoring gravity, but I'll tell man, a lot of this shit looks very, very cool. This stunt is a legit effect, and it's awesome.
Yeah,
and so far the stunts I've seen are, they look way better than True Lies, where they're still relying heavily on CGI, so there's that too.
A crutch, Mr. Cameron, a crutch. But I will say that this is we start our film, we meet our friend Xander Cage, and he is he's been called a Latino man, hilarious. Two,
yeah, much like Dominic Toretto. Yeah.
Two, he steals this car, and he ostensibly says that he is punishing a senator who is an all-around doofus, and that the punishment is this. I have to say, I think the senator has insurance. I think the senator, the United States, the senator from California, I think has insurance on his car. Just gonna put it out there. That when he is quote-unquote punishing him, the punishment is that this man now has to get a car home from the country club and then go into a dealership next week and get a new car. Not a really apt punishment.
So we're talking about this movie and also extreme sports action movies. I think a hallmark of this specific subgenre is when characters go to a party, like Xander Cage's surprise party in his loft, and there are people skateboarding indoors. You know you might be in one of these movies.
I felt like I was in a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie for a half a second. I thought that
Tony Hawk is in there.
I thought these were members of the Foot. I was a little scared that Mr. Shredder would appear.
That's all. It's like all real athletes, like, or real, you know, extreme bikers, snowboarders, skateboarders who are walking up to Vin Diesel. It's like the model actor thing at the beginning of Zoolander, and they got to go kiss this actor from Fast and Furious's ass and be like, "You're the coolest one."
Dude, Tony Hawk gets legit screen time. They milk the shit. And hey, don't get me wrong. What year did the Tony Hawk video games start coming out?
I think before this.
Because Tony Hawk Pro Skater, by the way, is like one of the largest video games of all time. Like 1 and 2 are absolutely insanely huge. So like if you went to the theater, you knew who Tony Hawk was. I'm not surprised that they gave him kind of a bunch of screen time. Yeah, it had come out 3 years before, so already had 1 and 2 had come out, which are two of the biggest games, especially sports games that have ever come out. So it's like Tony Hawk is a household name and face, and by the way, got paid like $30 million for the first game. So he also did not have to do this movie. He did this for the love of Xander Cage.
He just wants to be an advocate for extreme sports, I think. And
he still
saw
skates.
A good idea.
I follow him on social media, and he just broke his leg earlier this year, but he is still skating. He is I highly suggest that anyone out there should follow Tony Hawk. He is awesome.
Yeah, this probably is the point of his biggest celebrity, though, is around this time. Just with the games coming out and skateboarding becomes a little bit more mainstream, the X Games.
Yeah.
So
him just straight up being the face of the entire sport, literally at a Tiger Woods level, at a Michael Jordan level, at a Wayne Gretzky level, where it's like you don't have to have ever watched skateboarding to know who Tony Hawk is.
Yep.
The rapper Eve plays his, I guess, agent, or she's like his
business manager,
publicist. Which is hilarious with her saying to the woman who wants to make a video game out of Xander Cage, she's like, "He's never gonna sell out." It's like, the fact that you're here means he kind of has already.
The fact you got an invitation.
Yeah, the fact that you're profiting off him for your underground website, and she's like, "I have an underground website to manage. You have to lay low for a while."
He was also, hey man, Xander Cage first influencer. Because the entire business model they had a quote unquote underground website, and that they were selling tapes of all these stunts. So it's like he is a step away from doing hashtag ads.
I tell you, it's a real shit detail for the guys at the NSA whose job it is to be the fake bank robbers and just get beaten up by a bunch of Vin Diesel types all day. Like, even the ones who quote-unquote fail the diner test, and there's a lot that pass, like, they're still getting some hits in.
The diner scene is fucking great.
Yeah.
The diner scene is great. We've seen it a million times, right? It's the Sherlock Holmes scene. It's the thing where it's like, why is Xander Cage different? Why is he not just a meathead? Because he noticed all these things. You zoom in on the paper, and you zoom in on the gun, and you zoom in on the heel. It's awesome. The scene's great.
I gotta say, I kind of like Vin Diesel in this movie. I know he's no one's idea really of a great actor. He's got a charisma and an energy in his first couple movies that he just feels like the thing from Fantastic Four in movies today.
Nah.
His voice isn't as low of a growl as it will become I think he's kind of bringing it to the extent of his ability at this
time.
Hey,
I have said it before, and I'll say it again. I'm a Vin Diesel apologist. I think that he sort of like accepted this thing that became who he is. But like, if you legit think about his first couple of movies that he does like actual acting in, Saving Private Ryan, Pitch Black, the first Fast and Furious, this, Chronicles of Riddick, and Find Me Guilty. If you just had those movies of him, you'd say like, yeah, this guy's an okay actor. You'd be like, yeah, sure.
Don't forget about Boiler Room where he has hair.
You are not wrong. He does have hair. You were very right about that. But it's like, if you have those movies, and then you also have the like the fun little backwards bit about him being the voice of the Iron Giant, like, if he had, God forbid, died in like 2006, like we would not be talking about him as the sort of like fun sort of punchline that he is now, rightfully so. We would have talked about like this kind of interesting semi-action star.
Yeah. Danny Trejo's in this movie for about 2 minutes, playing a Danny Trejo type.
Getting the really insulted by Vin Diesel when he says that he has a bad fake accent, and you're like, that's just what Danny sounds like. And you're right, it does kind of sound fake. That was a good burn.
Yeah, Danny Trejo in like any movie sometimes is just like, all right, you're bringing it a little too much, buddy.
If he's doing anything that isn't directed by Once Upon a Time in Mexico.
Rodriguez.
Yeah, if he's doing anything that's not directed by him, you do kind of always go like, hey, shit, it's Danny Trejo.
Yeah.
look, it's Danny. He's in this one.
He comes on screen and you're like, oh yeah, Danny Trejo is good casting for like the fake guy, for like the test they have to pass. But then when this turns out to be real, it's like, oh, maybe he's not good casting for this.
So the guy that wrote this, I just had it up, is a guy named Rich Wilkes, who did a bunch of not great stuff. But he did this, and he did Airheads. Which kind of paints that, like, some of the dialogue in this movie is really cool. Towards the beginning of this whole like training montage, Vin Diesel getting bamboozled and hoodwinked into working for the NSA. Samuel Jackson has a sort of monologue where he talks about lions in the zoo. And he talks about a caged animal and stuff like that. That's like, if you put a good director on scenes like that, that's good shit. Like that, it's movie-y, but like some of the dialogue in this movie is really tight.
Yeah, the lion thing is kind of like the Eye of the Tiger thing in Rocky III, which I think people forget how good that scene and that dialogue is without the context of having the stupid song that you associate with it, because that on its own works.
Yeah, there's some good stuff in here. There's some good like little jokes. A lot of it just gets, you know.
Some of the bike stuff made me think of T2, actually, where it's like you get some slow-mo shots where you could really see what's happening and you know, quick enough shots where you can tell there's a stunt double. But I like that sometimes because you're just like, well, there's a fucking human doing this shit. It's not.
Yeah, exactly.
It's that. Yeah, they didn't really fake this one.
There is.
I think a guy did die in that scene.
What?
Doing
the exploding barn scene.
Yeah, I think there was a bike crash there.
That you and I mentioned it at the top, and I would assume it is playing, or at least part of it is playing right now while y'all are talking.
It's that scene.
That whole scene is like frenetic and massive. And it's good. That is, you could transplant this into any of the Brosnans at the time, and it fits like a glove. It is a cool scene.
Oh, and it's so much better than the actual ending in Prague.
100%.
You know what's interesting? In True Lies, yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger, he almost died during the horse stunt. He almost fell off a big, you know, stylized embankment that they were shooting that Marriott scene on or whatever. And a stuntman saved him. And that's why he says, that's why I always love stuntmen. And we know this now because we've watched True Lies.
Yeah. Before that, did he just spit on stuntmen?
I think
it took that to be like, all right, I respect you people now.
But just an interesting little tidbit that relates back to stunts.
Yeah.
In this movie and everything.
Yeah. This is a stunt-heavy film. That's a stunt-heavy film.
Someone actually died during this, unfortunately, which is terrible.
I will very much, I'm excited. I'll say I haven't watched True Lies in a long time, so I'm excited to really bore down and watch it when I do. But as we're gonna get back to him, right? Because the whole, you know, all the stuff is happening. Vin Diesel is hoodwinked and bamboozled, and he accepts this mission because he has to, because Samuel Jackson says he's gonna put him in prison. The Martin Xokas, how do you pronounce his last name?
I have no idea.
He is awesome, and should have been an actual Bond villain. He's so fucking cool.
I wrote down in my notes, he went to the 90s Gary Oldman Acting Academy.
Sure.
like chewing it up in a good way that totally works for this movie.
Well, he's been in so much shit. That dude's been around forever. And he's like, he's always that sort of like, he's up to just being ridiculous, which is awesome.
Was he in Lord of the Rings?
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised. I feel like every handsome white European was in that movie.
I can picture him with an elf wig on.
The answer is no. Also, I kind of think no, you're right. He was Celeborn. He was in Fellowship. He's one of the completely forgot.
He's hanging out with Galadriel there.
That is, I have to rewatch those movies, he says for the 18th time.
Yeah, I'm guessing he's best known for XXX and also being the bad guy in The Equalizer.
Yeah, that's probably what he's best known for. He's going to be in, or he was already in, it hasn't come out yet out here, but that new movie, Chevalier, about the composer, quote-unquote Black Mozart, if you've seen the trailers.
Oh, yeah.
A movie which I'm actually pretty excited for, because the person that it's about is a legit, crazy, interesting person from history, and he plays a racist mofo in it. So I can't,
you know, I can't see it.
Yeah, I can't wait to see him be kind of a dick, but also handsome enough that you're like, I don't know, he's cool.
Do you think that movie will have slow-mo motorcycles going through barbed wire?
No, unfortunately, I don't think so. Mostly, and I'm going to say mostly, because it does take place in, I believe, the 1600s in France. But other than, I think if it was set today, I think it has a lot more of them. Do you think that Vin Diesel most liked pretending to ride a motorcycle, pretending to drive a car, or pretending to, later in this movie, skateboard on a platter?
I think skateboard on a platter.
He does pretend to do all three of those things.
He certainly does.
But a lot of people pretend to ride on motorcycles and drive cars.
Mm-hmm.
Only one person has pretended to skateboard on a platter, as far as I know.
That's just a him thing, yeah. Okay, so he gets to Prague and gets in with the bad guys by immediately outing the cop that he comes in with.
That guy sucks, you know, anyway. Well, that guy sucks so bad.
Yeah, no one likes that guy. And then Martin sucks as Yorgi. I'm gonna call him Yorgi. Is like, all right, well, now we did the deal. He's gonna buy some cars from them. Now we party. And then the henchman, like, puts his, there's like a little hallway that he sticks his head in, and he says, "Bitches, come!" And then a bunch of women walk in.
And one of them looks like a Marvel supervillain. There's one that's dressed in like all sort of like a silvery black dress and has like a headpiece on. It's crazy.
That was the club scene at Prague at the time.
Dude, can we... Prague looks so inviting in this. I want to go to Prague so bad after watching this movie. It looks like... I get that they were trying to show like the underground bullshit parts, but like later on when they're at brunch and all of the lovely bridges, I would love to go to Prague.
Prague's beautiful. I was there 4 years ago. I did probably the most touristy version of the, you know, crazy underground thing, where I took a bar tour there that ended at, you know, the steampunk techno club place that was really fun. It's a great city, and you can walk into any place and buy a 20-ounce beer for like $1.25 US, so that's also fun.
God, that sounds fucking amazing. It was it's a cool, weird place to set this, because, like, not to spoil it for anyone, but the whole point is just that a group of former Soviet soldiers are trying to ruin the world. It's every movie that came out during this time period, and they could have really set it anywhere. It's cool to set it in a place that, like, I feel like not a whole lot of stuff that is US-based really takes place in. Because it allows it to feel very foreign and very fresh.
So, first Mission Impossible has the opening there. Is there a Bond or a Bourne that does Prague?
Probably a Bourne, right? But, like, the Bourne movies, he never, like... The places never feel as important in the Bourne movies.
Yeah.
As they do in Bond movies. Like, as we've talked about in Bond movies, and I feel like, this movie does a good job of it. I feel like in Bond movies... The location is a character.
Yeah, that's... I can't recall a Bond movie being in Prague at any point, which makes me believe...
seems crazy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you think he'd absolutely go there at some point, but I can't remember it, which leads me to believe he was never there in the movies.
Well, technically, the... I just remembered the pre-title for Casino Royale is, but that's, you know, in an office building, so they're not like doing any of the actual city there.
The Gray Man was in Prague. I literally just googled it. Oh, that's right, in Spider-Man Far From Home they go to Prague. and the Illusionist is in Prague. A movie that will never appear on this podcast, but a movie that I really, really like.
I do too. It's a fascinating movie. It's very romantic.
It's terribly romantic, and the score is freaking astounding. It's the guy that did The Hours, Philip Glass. It's a Philip Glass score, and it is absolutely fucking fantastic.
You know what movie does not take place in Prague? The Third Man. But that doesn't stop them from playing the theme from The Third Man on a zither live in this movie while he's walking into a place in Prague.
I missed that.
Because I guess Eastern Europe. Yeah, that happens, I think, when he first gets to Prague.
He so a lot of our movies, as we've said, are all of them, obviously. But a lot of them are obviously like James Bondian. This one... is scene for scene, shot for shot, a Bond movie. It is just what if James Bond was an American, like criminal,
minus the like training and like getting him into it. It's Bond meets La Femme Nikita. I mean, it's sure. The male version of Nikita, basically.
But it's like you have meeting the bad guy perfectly. You have. A pre-title, you have the Bond girl, you even have a Q and an M stand-in, you have the final giant set piece that doesn't feel earned. it is much more a Bond movie than a lot of Bond movies are.
If we're making this today, who are you casting? What like wannabe comedian are you casting as the Q guy?
That dude from Workaholics and from Pitch Perfect.
Oh, Adam.
Adam Devine.
Adam Devine. And I like Adam Devine, but this is just his exact role.
Yeah, he's good here.
He would have done this in a heartbeat. I think the more interesting question is who is Vin Diesel? And also, what do you just do Vin Diesel?
And call out like every few minutes, be like, he's in his late 20s. Like, yeah. For a younger man, you, Xander Cage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if this movie's far away enough for a total recast, because like Vin Diesel's very much still an action star and was just in a XXX movie 5 years ago.
But if this movie had never been made, and who's Xander Cage in 2022?
Definitely someone younger, right?
I feel like Chris Hemsworth is definitely doing that sort of movie.
Really? I think he's too old. I think you're right that it has to be someone who is like... who like is like 25 or something.
I think someone who's maybe mid to late 30s, so maybe too old, but I like Henry Golding in general. I don't know if he has the like skater boy meathead badass necessarily, but I think he's good in that, an action movie.
How bad would this be if it was Timothée Chalamet?
I was almost gonna say Timothée Chalamet for Q.
I'm not saying that Timothée Chalamet is bad. I'm saying that how fun would it be to watch Timothée Chalamet attempt to do this?
You know, in a different universe where Xander Cage is like the stunt skater boy, like TikTok star, Timothée Chalamet makes a little bit of sense.
You know who this could be? Is the super dick older brother from Stranger Things that dies, the dude from season 2? Max's older brother?
Oh yeah,
mullet guy.
Dockery something.
Montgomery.
Yeah.
That dude could totally do this. Cuz you need someone that you need someone who like you look at him and you're like, yeah, you could do crime. You probably could do crime.
Or just someone you look at him and you're like, you're kind of angry, aren't you?
You look mad. Are you okay? Is everything fine with you at home?
Asia Argento, daughter of Dario Argento, plays Yelena, the love interest in this movie. And I guess we won't get into her personal life, but it's messed up.
It's messed up against her favor and for her favor, which is a very unique combination.
Yeah.
Like that sounds Italian to me. Yes.
Yeah.
It's a real Polanski situation.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So he gets the Q guy gives him X-ray binoculars.
Bond.
He uses them immediately to look at a woman in her bra, which is exactly what happens in The World Is Not Enough. Except Bond is at least kind of cool about it. Xander Cage acts like he's never seen a woman in a bathing suit before. He just sees this woman in her bra and he's like, oh my god,
I would like to. Because he's here's the thing, because he's American. That's the thing is that this movie, this entire movie is just what if James Bond was American, which means that you give him x-ray specs, he goes whoa. And then the other thing about this movie is that I wrote it down because I was thinking about it when this was happening. In the gadget scene for this, you know how in every one of the good Bond movies with gadgets, the big, crazy, exploding, ridiculous gadgets are in the background and some like scientist is trying them out? In this movie, they just give them to him because this is an American spy movie, and you give him all the explosions and the crazy gun and like that. I laughed so hard because this is just a movie where he was like, what, don't I get like a transponder or like a laser watch? And they're like, fuck off, you get explosives.
Yeah. And then before the climax, he just goes to the Q guy and like throws a bunch of guns and explosives on the table and is like, put them in this
classic car.
Put them
in the car. Yep.
Which is, I like.
Yeah, God.
It is, also, by the way, that GTO, that car, is very good looking. That is a good choice by them. It is an exceptionally good looking car.
And just with him being like super American and reacting to everything, like after they party at the bad guy's straight up castle, he goes to his room where there are, I think, 1,000 lit giant candles and just a straight up stripper who's dancing on his bed. And he's just like, sweet. And then he says a literal James Bond line and says, like, the things I do for my country.
Bond, baby.
Yeah.
Like,
I wish Bond wore more waffle shirts. You know, he's not wearing those enough.
He's not. He's in his movies. Too refined. He's not wearing enough fur coats. Just big, sort of 1970s pimp fur coats.
Yeah, not enough of leather or anything. He could be better.
There's a scene where both Diesel and Asia Argento have like big fur coats on. And it's like, this is just a Rob Cohen thing at this point. Like he looked at this scene and was like, more fur.
The scene after so a lot happens in this movie via secret phone calls from Dirty Cops. A lot of this movie. Because that is how our main bad guy finds out that both Vin Diesel and Asia are spies and have been spies. Which then leads, though, to one of the cooler sort of like legit spy things, which is that they're at sort of a brunch moment after they've had like a kiss before. And then he's telling her that he is, in fact, a spy, and she doesn't believe him. And she gets a phone call, and they have to essentially get out while not blowing her cover. Again, a scene that, while not shot super astoundingly, really great sort of conceit, and I think like is really sort of handles itself really well.
And climaxes with using a silver platter as a skateboard to go down a railing.
It frickin' does. A silver platter that also, it gets multi-use because they're not lazy filmmakers, because it is also used as a mirror to blind a sniper.
Yorgi's guy's pretty sloppy, I gotta say, considering, I don't know like how soon the cop turns coat and starts working for them. But he shoots the cop with it's like a tranquilizer dart that has basically a squib attached to it. So it's supposed to look like he's killing this guy, even though he's just knocking him out. No one in this terrorist organization is like, yeah, maybe let's like grab this body and get rid of it. Like, so we're not found out like days before we're going to launch this chemical weapon. They just leave that guy dead on the street.
Yeah, they seem really, really not afraid of the Prague police force. They seem very actively to not give a flying fuck about anybody in sort of Eastern Europe.
So I have two questions for you about this terrorist organization, their Anarchy 99. One is, do you know if they're affiliated with Ranch 99? And two is, would you consider changing your band name to Anarchy 99?
First of all, they're not associated with Ranch 99, because the three of us have been there on multiple occasions, and we've loved it every time.
Okay.
And that's a place of love. It's a place of...
That's a good point.
Yeah.
They would never harm anyone.
And finding great, great quality groceries and deli meats at an ununionized price in LA. So
that's an excellent point.
And you can cook up a tri-tip that's as big as your frickin' chest that you get from there for like $4. I don't like numbers and band names, so I don't think I can do it. But if someone were to pay me, then it's on the table.
Okay.
Really? Never? Is this a hard never? Because Nine Inch Nails is like one of the sort of like bandiest band names to ever band name.
They make it.
Do they get away with it because they write it?
Yeah, they write it.
Yeah.
And I think I was picturing 99, two numbers in a row.
That's a good point.
The numeric thing,
mm-hmm.
where Nine Inch Nails can be.
But
90,
also like, but like
word.
Matchbox 20, you hate.
I don't like Matchbox 20.
Or
311. Don't like 311. Because there could always be a 312 or a Matchbox 21.
Right. Wow. So okay. All right. You sold me.
Sum 41, Blink 182.
Oh, fuck. I do. Granted, Blink 182 could have named themselves anything and I would have liked them. So that one doesn't feel fair because I do still agree with you that they could have been Blink 183.
Yeah, you could just have an infinite amount of numbers. Numbers go on forever, so when you introduce numbers into a band,
although,
it's kind of...
What about 98 degrees? Because that's the human body temp, my friend.
That's true, but the human body can also get to 99 degrees.
Ouch.
As many as 105 degrees before it gets into critical state, so...
Yeah, and critical state is also a good band name.
Yeah, critical state is
critical
a very
state
good band
is
name.
A very good band name.
And that's my contribution for the night.
Thank you.
All right.
Useful.
Yeah, this is... he sees a woman in a bra and a woman in just her skeleton. So maybe he's impressed by seeing someone's skeleton, but he is acting really horny.
He's really horny through the whole movie for a guy that... But at the party, his agent is like, you need to go on vacation and get some girls. And he's like, I'm fine. And then he is on a mission to make sure he doesn't go to prison. And he's like, ooh, that Russian chick looks very attractive.
Yeah, I laughed out loud when he's explaining Yorgi is explaining the chemical bomb / submarine that's like, he says it only surfaces to do its business. And she's like, what is its business? And is it something like, oh, dropping off all the little presents for the boys and the girls.
Such a good Bond villain BS line. And scene. They go into a basement under an Eastern European castle to find a nondescript
hundreds
room.
Of scientists.
With so many scientists. All of them old. All of them Russian. None of them speaking English. They all are creating a death weapon to kill people, and they know it, and they celebrate with champagne. And then immediately, the younger, still Russian people kill all of them using said bomb. It's fucking perfect. And then again, because he's a villain, he like listens to the sounds of death and goes, ah, this is why they call it Silent Night. It's fucking perfect.
When he started to say silent, I was like, is he going to say silent but deadly? But
this is the level of bad movie that I'm so on board with. Like, I am writing this movie hard because it is like, this is the type of thing that I want to spend my time watching because it is not bad enough to pain me, but it isn't good enough that I have to like turn on sort of like artist brain, if you know what I'm talking about, right? Like, it's not like I'm walking into it and I have to, like, think about where it's going to sit in the annals of artistic expression. I get to watch Vin Diesel slap a bunch of C4 on a bunch of motorbikes, shoot a bunch of guys, and then jump over a castle wall from nothing, by the way. He just gets 12 feet of air from nothing. And then as soon as a henchman is going over that same area, he says, not bottoms up. He just goes, fire in the hole. Boom! And blows up a Russian henchman. It's fucking perfect.
Bottoms up, though, would have been a nice reference to the James Bond movie Man with the Golden Gun, because that's the bar he goes to.
That's entirely true.
When he's in Bangkok?
Yeah, but he might be there.
I'll also say, Yorgi does have several henchmen, none of them are good enough to have gone to the henchman school. None of these
henchmen—they're crappy henchmen.
They're all crappy. They're one of them. The quote unquote main henchman does get a very good henchman death. He's the guy that he's the sniper, and he is smoking. And he does get blown up with a heat-seeking missile, which is excellent henchman killing.
When they did that line of him being like, oh, I would smoke these things after they kill me. I was like, wow, this is a lot of screen time for this one bald dude. Like, why is he going to be an important part of the movie? And then they bring the cigarettes back. And Diesel says at the end, I told you those things would kill you.
Yeah, he probably could have killed one more guy to make him feel a little more like worthwhile. I get that he kills the first guy and that he has a creepy, creepy obsession with Asia Argento's character, but like I really would have felt better if he had one more heartless kill, you know?
Bad move on this movie's part to kill the bad guy with like 20 minutes left. You really need to like have Vin Diesel actually fight Yorgi at the end, and like, you know, maybe it's like a Bond thing with, although he looks pretty scary, so I don't think it'd be like much of a stretch that he could go toe-to-toe with Triple X. He just gets shot going out of there, and then there's like 15 minutes of driving after the submarine thing.
Yeah, and they do a lot of gadget jokes and like there's a lot of car stuff, but again it does feel like the Pierce Brosnan Bond DNA sort of like overriding it, because that's also exactly what happens in a lot of those where it's just like, oh, it's the early 2000s, we better do quote unquote high tech stuff. That's what the people want explosions, and they want fast vehicles going in a direction quickly.
Yeah, the theme I'll bring up in when we get to kind of extreme sports movies and this era is like, I think the Randy Edelman, the main theme is okay, and you know, totally it sounds like Kingsman or Cody Banks or every kind of movie going for this vibe. It's like bum 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 da dum, something like that.
Yeah,
very, very Bondian. But look at this movie, look at first Fast and Furious or Mission Impossible 2, the music that is not score fucking sucks. Like,
yeah,
just the all the like 20-year-old like rap
metal.
They're also not even
dropping good ones. Like, there was decent music in 2001, 2002 that they could have been using. They also misuse the one good song. They use what's the name of the Bond? The name of the band. They do Bodies by Drowning Pool, which is like a song I enjoy. It's also a song that we all know. It's the let the bodies hit the flow. Let the bodies hit the flow. But they do it in like, they drop it in the wrong scene, and they also play not the most popular part of the song. It was a very weird choice.
That's a cover of Elvis Costello tune, right?
Yeah. It's a lot jazzier.
Yeah, it's, I mean, all three of the movies I just mentioned, it's doing like, they're doing PG-13 hardcore, and it's some bad tunes. I had, when I was watching it last night and the snowboarding scene started, I was like, oh, this looks fine. Like, why do I remember this scene like looking so terrible? And then Xander blows up the mountain, and the CG avalanche starts killing everyone.
Yep,
that's pretty rough.
Yeah, it really started to feel like they got through 65 of their 70 million. because a lot of the other practical effects are pretty good and are pretty cool. Blowing up the car at the beginning, pretty freaking cool. All the stuff in Colombia, pretty freaking cool. Some of the car stuff in Prague, pretty freaking cool. But then you get on the mountain and it's bad. It's downhill in many ways.
Yeah. Any other parts we should talk about of Triple X or True Lies before we get on to
at one point Xander Cage says he flips open and then closed a gun And the tech guy says, wow, you must really know how to use a gun. Or he says, like, wow, you have to have a lot of training. And Vin Diesel, a real-life human being, says the line, no, I broke my wrist recently, and I played a lot of first-person shooter video games. which is so many words. So many words to say a very, very simple thing. So that's one thing that I had written down that I really needed to say out loud, because it made me, I had to pause the movie and laugh, because that was one of those things where it was like a writer who was like, has a kid that plays video games and was like, I'll put this in because it is, because this is current and relevant.
Yeah. It's making a real strong bid for the affection of every teenager in 2002, or every teenage boy at least.
Yeah, but just without saying what they should have said, which is like, what you actually would have said is, you know, nah, I actually just played a bunch of Doom. Or like, no, yeah. No, I was, you know, I play. Honestly, what you would have said is, you would have said, no, I just played a bunch of GoldenEye is what you'd actually say.
Yeah, do they actually reference... Someone makes a reference to James Bond in this, right?
I don't remember, honestly.
I think maybe the Q guy does. Oh, yeah, also when they're when they all get dumped, as they do with cargo in Colombia, parachuted out of the plane as it's like basically landing.
I live for
the
this
guys
shit.
Are getting nervous. Yeah, Diesel goes, I live for this shit. Like, all right, no one asked you.
I remember that from the trailer. They played that in the trailer. Fucking that was the tag of the trailer. Obviously they didn't put shit.
Did they say poop in the trailer?
No, they said I live for this. But that was like, because because ostensibly it's a great shot, especially for a trailer, right? If he's like, I live for this, and then he just gets pulled out of the flying plane.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know what? The movie ends. He and Asia get to go to Bora Bora, and then Samuel Jackson calls them to do another mission, and Vin Diesel knew that he would never do another sequel. So it's a
really puzzling final scene, because it's like, what did they? Why do you shoot that scene without talking to Diesel or having him sign for multiple movies? Or, like, do you think they said, like, will you do another one? He was like, sure, I guess, and then backed out.
They straight up do the, like, M calling and saying, Bond, get back, we have another mission. Like, Samuel Jackson is on the weird phone saying, like, you did so good, I have something for you. It's like...
This would only be more Bond-like if Sam Jackson was watching them bone.
That's an excellent point.
Okay, well, that's XXX. If you've never seen it, it's a pretty good time.
Yeah, it's fun. I think it's worth a watch. Yeah. Literally, just it's a Saturday 5 p.m. You know, it's fun shit. Watch it while you're making dinner. It's fun.
Watch it when it's on Netflix or Prime or whatever. Okay, so this is my theme that I came up with here, because as I said, if we did like a top five Vin Diesel, it would really just be Fast and Furious and maybe this one movie. So I'm putting this in the extreme sports umbrella, which I realize is kind of harder to come up with after
I said it.
That's why
I like
it.
Nope, that's why I like it. I specifically said it. I said it in our group chat. I want kind of only weird movies, kind of only shitty movies. I will be very honest and say that I have one that is a cheat, but the rest of mine are straight up extreme sports movies.
I have maybe two or three that you might ding me for cheating a little.
I might have three. I might have four. Who knows? I don't know what we're calling extreme sports.
I'll tell you
it's
exactly.
Not a genre.
It's how
you
I texted.
Can,
yes,
it's however you can justify it.
I would argue that it is a genre. It's just a genre. It's just a really, really specific genre. And that is... Yeah. That is, because you can literally do it to the extreme sports, i.e. ski, snowboard, surf, motocross, skateboarding. Anything that is in the X Games.
Okay, well, I think I There were a couple other things that I see as being extreme activities one can do.
That feels so hard. You cheated so hard. You're going to say there's this great movie about extreme sports. It's called Invictus. The extremist sport, soccer. Or no,
Invictus is great.
I actually thought about Victory/Escape to Victory. With Stallone and Michael Caine and Pele, and then I was like, "That is just soccer, but it's playing soccer against Nazis. That's pretty extreme."
You do Running Man.
I thought about Running Man.
Running Man, I would totally accept as a quote extreme sport.
Running Man is a very extreme sport. It will absolutely be. Well, actually, yeah. You know what? Fuck it. I'll just say Running Man is my.
Put it in your.
Since you're accepting that, I'll put that as my five.
Sure.
Because I'll bump one to honorable mentions that fits less. I tried to mainly stick to like kind of real stunts or there's people doing these things, but you know what? Running Man is really fun. Stephen King wrote it under one of his pseudonyms.
I think that totally counts.
Classic Arnold. He says sub zero, now just zero after he kills the guy. Running Man's a good time. And I like how the game show host emphasizes that calling it the Running Man.
We're doing also Ran's in between one and two, right?
Yeah, that sounds good. What's your number five?
My number five, I'll do. It's probably a little bit of a cheat and also a little bit of a shameless plug because I worked on this movie. But Free Solo, I'd put it higher. But it's not really a movie; it's more of a documentary. But it's a great movie,
and it's extreme. It's extreme as hell.
It's very extreme.
It is, yeah,
and I have a
similar cheat. I have a similar cheat in my thing. Free Solo is great. Free Solo is super cool.
That is an awesome one. I
think it is entirely worthy. I know that we normally don't do this, but I think it's entirely worthy of it because it has so many extreme sports. Triple X is my number five.
It's right in.
It really there. Just does them and unabashedly and joyfully, does all of them.
Okay, I'm revising.
This is a real bare bones list for all of us, I think.
I came up with honorable mentions, but they're all like, I don't know if this works.
I came up with mine really fast, like arguably a little too fast.
My number four, which I mentioned earlier, is The Fast and the Furious. I do think it fits. It's got the first movie is about underground racing. It's the competition. There's like motorcycle dirt bike stuff, and as per my theme, it's got people skateboarding indoors at parties, so I think that's really a staple of this subgenre. And the first Fast and Furious movie, and it has the terrible rock rap metal stuff. It's a blast from the past. Check it out. Diesel. It's slightly better Diesel Cohen for my money than this movie.
My number four is Downhill Racer with Robert Redford. I think it's... look, it's kind
it's
a
good movie.
Again, it's not really an extreme sports movie. It's a movie from the 70s.
Does anyone die in it?
Nobody dies in it. I probably watched it when I was in school about a decade ago or something. Yeah. But I kind of remember liking it. It's got some really fun action sequences or like skiing sequences kind of in there. And
when I think extreme sports, I do think Gene Hackman.
Yeah, I always think Gene Hackman. Welcome to Mooseport. That's one of the that could be on everyone's list, but so I'm throwing that in as number four.
My number four is Point Break. It's gonna be way higher on y'all's lists. It obviously is extreme sports and a popular film, which makes it high on all these lists because this list is hilarious and tiny in the first place. But guess what? Yeah. Guess what? For my money, I like Point Break, but I don't ride or die for it like a lot of other people do. So it is lower on my list.
Desert Island, would you go Point Break or Speed?
Speed.
Speed.
Yeah, I'm going Speed.
Speed is a much better movie. I don't think there's any question about that. Yeah. Speed's actually a good movie.
Speed, Point Break's a good movie.
No.
No. No. Speed is a good movie.
Max, did you do 4?
That was my 4. My 4 was Point Break.
Oh, okay. You just said. Okay. Well, then in the spirit of The Running Man, I will say I don't think you can get much more extreme in terms of sports than, you know, public battle to the death. So I'm going Gladiator. It's kind of
that's not even close.
I can't.
You gotta do something else other than that. Yeah.
If you're letting Running Man in,
No. You, how dare you try to corroborate this into
number one.
That's a ridiculous. No. Your list so
Gladiator's a sword and sandal movie or.
Your list
history,
so far,
movie, but
you're
picking,
barely.
You're telling me Downhill Racer is an action movie, and you're taking Gladiator.
Downhill Racer is a little suspect. Gladiator is completely
unhinged.
Downhill
Racer at least has
skiing
in it. It has some extreme sport.
An extreme
Gladiator
sport
is about gladiators.
What's Running Man? What?
Running Man is extreme sport because it is televised, because it is entertainment for the masses, and that it is in the future where there is no skiing.
Yeah.
Did you not see the crowd in the Coliseum? It's for the public.
Gladiator isn't about being a gladiator, though. Gladiator is about a father to a murdered son and a husband to a murdered wife.
My favorite extreme sports movie is Braveheart.
Exactly. Yeah. Ridiculous.
That's not there's no audience
in
Braveheart.
It's fake history with war. Like, no, come on.
Absolutely ridiculous.
It's kind of a sports movie.
There's no
movie.
Audience in XXX. People aren't watching him.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, but he's doing the stuff. Okay, all right. If you...
I cannot wait for your 2-1, because I have a feeling they're going to make me just as mad.
No, they. I don't think they will. Well, okay, are you making me change, or are you accepting?
No, I'm accepting it, and I'm going to mock you for it for the rest of time.
Yeah. I will accept it, but if you think of something else to slot in at number 3.
The extreme sport. Here's the worst part. You only really had to come up with 4, because as I said, Point Break is going to be on all of our lists. Is Point Break not on your list?
No.
It's on mine.
Oh, okay.
Because it's an extreme sports movie.
Where
it's the extreme sports movie. Yeah,
I would argue that there is a more extreme sport movie. Actually, I would it's going to be next on my list.
Okay. Well, yeah. Go for your number 3 then.
My number 3 is Point Break. So there we go.
Sure, Point Break makes sense. It has extreme sports in it.
It deserves to be on a list too because it's an actual extreme sports movie.
Yeah. Now tell me, at any point, do you have to deal with the horrific complications of slavery?
No.
Oh,
no,
okay. Then I don't know.
Look,
I think Gladiator still probably beats it out for extreme sport.
Oh, yeah. When I think of movies tackling the complexity of slavery, I think about Gladiator.
Hey, Digimon Hansope did not live and die in that film for you to mock him and his sacrifice.
He lives in that film.
He's so good in that movie. He's great in everything, but he's so good in that movie. Yeah. I know his name is Digimon Hanzu, but for those of you who have never met me,
it's fun calling him Digimon.
I only call him Digimon Hand Soap, like the card game and like the soap for your hands. My number 3, unless you'd like to talk about Point Break, because Point Break is fun, it's just not as good as Speed.
We can talk about Point Break and
when it's number 1 on your list. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Just point it out there. My number 3 is probably the best extreme sports movie as an extreme sports movie, but it is not the best movie, so it is number 3 on my list. It's an extremely goofy movie. A film whose entire conceit is the X Games. It's an awesome movie. It's super fun and super funny. I highly suggest you watch it.
I don't think I've seen it since the 90s. Okay, my number 2 is Cliffhanger, Rennie Harlan classic. Okay. It's got climbing. Part of the conceit, I think, is to just not do another Rocky or Rambo for Stallone. So I don't think he fires a gun in the whole movie. It's climbing, it's skiing, there's snowmobiles. It's the ultimate winter sports action movie. It's really awesome.
Yeah, I like that movie.
Well, I have another winter sports action movie on my list is number two, Vertical Limit. Which I think falls into, it was made around the
Martin
same
Campbell.
Yeah, same time as Triple X and a lot of these extreme sports movies of the
it
early 2000s.
It was on my list. I haven't seen it, so I didn't put it on my actual list.
It is actually an extremely well done.
Now there's a man in that.
Like fun movie, action movie.
I think his name's Bill. Mr. Paxton, I believe. What other films has he been in?
He was in True Lies, actually. He plays a character named Simon. Yeah, I don't know if you remember him. But,
interesting.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm gonna
I don't
watch
know
that.
I don't know that because I watched the movie a couple hours ago. Yeah. It's like kind of at 3 o'clock today. It was like, I'm going to get real dialed in and do it. And then went to do my list and found out we weren't watching it anymore, which is my fault completely.
So
but
you just,
I,
you Googled Bill
not
Paxton
how I
films.
Knew. Yeah, that is not how I knew Bill Paxton was in the movie True Lies.
extreme sports. Like
Bill Paxton.
Weird Science, like, or Apollo 13. Space exploration, the most extreme sport.
You know, getting real close up and personal with cyclones, pretty extreme.
Is Twister your number one?
Here's the worst part is you're joking, Will. I would have been less mad if you had Twister instead of Gladiator.
I agree, actually. I would
have been less upset.
Oh yeah, so I'll go.
I feel terrible for saying that and mocking you, but it's true.
It's Max. You said number two.
I have not said number two.
Oh, did any of us say number? Did you say?
Yeah, Vertical Limit was my two. Yeah,
that has number two. We're on me for number two. This one is my bullshit one because this one is also a documentary, but it is also one of my favorite documentaries of all time. It is Man on Wire. The High Wire documentary about a man that walked in between the Twin Towers in New York. It is so much fun to watch a French man that thinks that he is God be proven correct by so many people. That is a movie where that is kind of unhinged. It's very good.
So you opted for that other than instead of The Walk, Robert Zemeckis's Joseph Gordon-Levitt starring classic.
That's an excellent point.
Filmed in 3D.
I did. Oh my God, I forgot it was in 3D.
I think it was.
I think you're right.
Because it's Zemeckis.
So that would have been on my list had I not wanted to choose three technically documentaries, and I'll let that inform my number one pick.
Wait, I haven't said.
But
also,
it's an apt time to say it because you're talking about Man on Wire.
I will also say that Free Solo would have been on my list if not for Man on Wire. So that's actually for the same reasons. But let's do. I know that
you guys
that
are both
Road Warrior doesn't have any
documentaries.
I know that Road Warrior doesn't have any, but let's do Also Rans first before we do.
So I asked my roommate Brian today if he could think of any extreme sports action movies based around extreme sports, and he recommended Gleaming the Cube, which I've never seen, but I gather early 90s Christian Slater is a skateboarder whose brother is murdered and there's like a government conspiracy. It sounds awesome. It's on Prime Video now. I'm absolutely watching it soon. It sounds really fun.
The Hawk is in this one too.
Who is?
Tony Hawk is in this one, too.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It's another skateboard action movie.
Crazy.
I know a lot, and then the second movie I'll say that I haven't seen is, I know a lot of people love the original Rollerball from the 70s with James Caan. Haven't seen it. That seems like an extreme sport. I'll watch it at some point. And then I feel like it's so close to, like, half the Mission Impossible movies are like really close to like being able to make it. I think most of all is two, because that movie opens and Ethan Hunt is just free soloing. Where's he supposed to be? He's just climbing up a mountain, no rope, for fun. The bike stuff is really crazy in that movie. He's doing flips all over the place. It's very Matrix inspired. It's very stupid, but I do like the action in that movie, and it does have the vibe of like this or Fast and Furious. I also wrote down Rocky IV, which not quite an action movie, but like kind of an action movie.
Extreme action, you mean? Yeah, it's an action movie. It's a boxing movie, though, I think.
But we got mountain running too.
Rocky IV would be my number one on this list. You guys know this by far. If it was running? An extreme
sports
movie.
It's an also ran because I don't know if it really qualifies, but you know, there's the bad guy is basically the Terminator. Polly's having sex with a robot. It's like a sci-fi action movie, basically.
Yeah. Well, look, here's the thing. You asked us, like, the first thing you said was extreme sports movies, and then you immediately had a caveat, which would have been the smarter list, which was best extreme sports scenes, right? That's a far easier list. That's one that we all could have made in our sleep. It's not fun, though, which is why I did.
Casino Royale's in that one.
Yeah, the free-running scene in that is fucking awesome. It's what we talk about it all the time. But like, that would have been... That's a realist. This one's fun and bullshit, and we get to make fun of each other for our weird choices because this is not a real subset of movies.
It was for a minute. I feel like early 90s to early 2000s, it was kind of a thing.
Do you have any other also-rans?
I've two more that I'd like to say. The first one, obviously,
The Godfather.
Absolutely doesn't qualify, but I would just like to say that the movie Help has a lot of winter sports in it, and I'd say it qualifies as much as Downhill Racer, so shout out to the Beatles. They made a couple good records in there.
You said Help, and my brain did The Help, and I was like, there is no downhill skiing.
Yeah, in the South in the summer, everyone knows how much skiing there is. I think a movie that is worth at least mentioning in this conversation is a movie very dear to your heart, Max, which last month, I believe, celebrated its 20th anniversary. Really shares a lot of DNA with XXX and Fast and Furious. It's Die Another Day. It starts with surfing. It's got fencing. It does have, you know, some very CG extreme sports toward the end of the movie, but I think that's canceled out by in the tradition of indoor skateboarding. We do have ice skating waitresses, so I'm calling that an honorary extreme sports movie.
Mm-hmm. I
give that more credit than Gladiator.
I have a couple. My also-rans are similar, where it's like ones that maybe don't fit, but it goes in a different direction than yours a little bit. First, I'll mention the ones that I just don't think are good enough, or I don't like them enough, like Lords of Dogtown and Z-Boys. Just a lot of these sort of skate movies that came out that are just about skating in L.A. in the sort of the early days.
Do you consider
days.
Any of those action movies?
No, but you keep putting the word action. I said extreme sport movies.
I said extreme sport action movies.
Yeah, like, so we landed on extreme sports movies. So yeah, I think the qualifications have to be that.
Which don't get me wrong, it's not. I don't think that your list is going to look would ever look hugely different if you don't have the word action, because all of these movies inherently have action because you are observing extreme sports, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you that like the reasons why those aren't on my list is that like if those movies were 90% skateboarding, it's probably on my list, right? But the ones that I think that are fun and interesting that aren't on it are for those reasons are like I joked about it, but Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles first one, a lot of skateboarding, not enough to be on it, but like a lot of skateboarding. The Surf's Up is a really good animated movie about a penguin that learns how to surf. I would suggest it. It's kind of fun. And then the ones that I wanted to do but aren't actually extreme sports would be Blades of Glory, Kingpin, and Goon. None of those are extreme sports, but they are weird sports movies.
It's a great sports
that
movies,
are
yeah.
sort of extreme versions of the things that they're doing. If you get sort of the weird direction that my brain went in thinking about them.
I think if you're throwing hockey in there, Slapshot can be
sure.
there too.
Yeah, basketball weirdly.
Baseball, yeah.
Like, my brain went to a lot of those movies when I was trying to think about stuff for this. And then lastly, this would have been on my list with a bullet, but it's not a movie. The cartoon Rocket Power, if you guys remember it, was a children's cartoon from when we were kids that was just about a bunch of extreme sports junkies.
Yep. Great show.
Mm-hmm. I even looked, I was like, did they ever do like a quote-unquote movie, like a made-for-TV movie that was like a 50-minute or something? And they did not. So it's not on my list. But those are my quote-unquote also-rans. Oh, and Surf Ninjas.
All right. Obviously, my number one is Point Break. It's the inception of this mini-genre that we just made up. Which I'd say kind of starts with Point Break, kind of dies when Fast and Furious becomes a spy franchise. The first Fast and Furious, very obvious, like kind of ripoff of Point Break. And I remember having a DVD of it that the back, it like was no quote from a critic. It just said like, surfing, skydiving, football, and it just like it, big exclamation points like listed the like, this movie's got it all, baby. They should have competitive bank robbing. That would be fun. It's a really fun movie. I saw it last weekend in theaters on film with an audience. It was it held up really good time. Vaya con Dios.
Vaya con Dios.
As Keanu says.
My number one would get a lot of shit, but I think it actually lives more in the extreme sports genre, if we're not calling action in there, which I thought we weren't.
Dude, don't worry about it. I'm going to get a lot of shit, too.
It has a lot to do with this movie and movies of this era, but it's probably more famous, probably going to be remembered for much, much longer. Jackass.
You know what? You're right. Nope, you win. You win.
That's as extreme sports as it gets.
My answer is bullshit, and I'm gonna get shit for it, and I should. You circumvented it. You like Kobayashi Maru'd this one. Like, there wasn't a right answer. And you were like, the right answer is not to play the game, Jackass. Like, that's an excellent answer.
Thank you.
That's excellent. Damn it. That totally would have been on my list.
Well, I'm a smart cookie, you know. I come up with these things.
That's a great answer. That is a great answer. It is entirely in the spirit of all this ridiculous bullshit. Those dudes were all skateboarders. There's so much boarding and stuff in the first one.
Yep.
That's an awesome answer. Are you ready for my number one answer? It's not Gladiator bad, but it's not great. Now, I will say, it is a film that is about skiing and muscle cars. But it also has a bit of a love story. And it's also pretty darn funny. That's
House
right.
House of Gucci.
That's right. It's House of Gucci. No, that's right. Oh, no. That's right. It's Better Off Dead. My number one is the John Cusack comedy Better Off Dead, where he skis down a double black diamond on one ski. And also has a street race against a Japanese pair of twins. Stolen by the Fast and the Furious franchise. Thank you very much. You want to talk about the originator We're talking Better Off Dead, one of my favorite rom-coms that also happens to have...
Is it a rom-com?
Yeah, it is. It's 100% a rom-com. When's the last time you watched Better Off Dead?
The one time I watched it was maybe a year ago on your recommendation.
He starts the movie having been dumped. He falls in love with an exchange student who teaches him to be himself. It's a rom-com.
Would you call Airplane a rom-com?
No, because Airplane is about an airplane that crashes. That's ridiculous.
He gets the girl at the end.
No. That is a ridiculous one-to-one. You can't compare the two.
No, I'm just saying when something is fine, basically...
Would you call Gladiator an extreme sports movie?
More than Free Solo.
What?
Whoa, how is Free Solo the one catching flack and not Better Off Dead? Wait.
Free Solo, a guy, actually, Free Solo's about what you were talking about in Mission Impossible 2. That actually happens in that movie. That is way more extreme sports than a movie about a gladiator in 192 AD Rome.
More importantly, if you described the movie Airplane, you can describe it without talking about a love story. You cannot describe Better Off Dead without talking about the love story because it is integral to the story.
I guess it's more tone, where because it feels like 100% or 99% parody, like that's not how I'd, you know, describe anything in that genre.
Parody?
Really.
What is better? For Airplane? What is Better Off Dead parodying?
John Hughes? I don't know. It doesn't feel...
It's not parodying John Hughes. It came out in 1985. It is not parodying anything, and I disagree completely. I think that it is a high an extended comedy, but in no way are they playing on any trope other than in the way that it is about teenagers.
Okay, it feels like a very heightened farce. I guess.
I want to go back for the text message record because I read it today. Several times. Sports movies, and okay. Our last thing was Max saying that no, we're just doing extreme sports movies, not extreme sports action movies. So.
Oh, look at Max go. This is why you keep receipts. This is why.
I said action movies. Max did not. Okay. All right.
Who? Fine. None of that part. As we said, this list was from the outset meant to spark arguments between us because I knew that none of us would have anywhere near the same lists because the actual list is Point Break and then a bunch of movies. So, like, that's the fun part about a thing like this.
Triple X definitely earns a spot.
And an extremely goofy movie. But no one but me is going to remember that movie even fucking existed.
I have to say, I do not remember it well enough.
It's fun. It's like, you know, it's a Disney sequel. It's not perfect, but like goofy skateboards, which is great. Max, the fat friend, or not Max, whatever the fat friend's name is, he falls in love with a really sexy beat poet. It's a weird movie. It's fun.
Is that the one where Goofy has poison ivy up his ass? Or...
I think it is.
Maybe?
Okay. Like way up there?
Yeah, it's Poison Oak, actually.
Yeah, okay.
It's Professor Oak, actually, from the Pokemon franchise.
Oh, yeah. He was way up there.
He was way up there.
Yeah, also, you know, Richard Pryor skis off a skyscraper in Superman 3, so honorary mention there.
Hey man, we could have done scenes, and it would have been, and we would have not argued about anything because there are a lot of great scenes.
Yeah, the arguing's fun,
but yeah, I would rather talk about this really dumb list.
Okay, I guess we'll just do True Lies next week.
I've been looking forward to watching it. I just hadn't watched it by last night. I was also gonna watch it today.
Well, thanks for everyone who listened to that. Check out our social media and everything, and we'll see you very soon for a discussion on True Lies and James Cameron and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Watch it on Peacock Plus.
Or don't. Yeah. If you want to watch it legally, don't bother.
Yeah. If you want to watch it illegally, watch it on Redacted.
Thank you, Maxwell Cox. You're our best friend.